Basic snitches.
So lovely. Hello.
Are you gonna not continue singing our theme song that we've been doing this entire time?
Changing the melody line of our theme song every time.
What are you talking about? We've been
You're
doing
like,
this for
it's
all
the same.
220 episodes, Tara.
Yeah. Oh, that.
Yeah, I'm starting off this episode by gaslighting her. I'm Adam,
I'm Tara.
and today we are discussing chapter 33
33.
of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Deathly Hallows.
And that is called The Prince's Tale.
Yes,
So
that'll be
we're
fun.
finally at this like monumental, enormous chapter.
Enormous.
Tara and I were just discussing because today we're only recording this. It's kind of worked out in a nice way where today we can just focus on this like very, very pivotal chapter. I mean, there's really nowhere to pivot to. We're at the end here, you know?
Right.
But where we figure everything out, or most things out. Before we get into that, though, I did watch the movie immediately after we stopped recording the last time. I do have just a couple little thoughts that I'd like to add on. So
Yes.
we had talked a little bit about how the movie doesn't feel epic. Rewatching it, I do think it feels epic. There are some moments where there are like near misses with curses being flung. Giants play a huge fucking role in the movie too.
Yeah.
There's at one point like a giant wielding a part of a Quidditch hoop, which actually the Quidditch pitch is on the complete opposite side of Hogwarts from where everybody is coming across that viaduct bridge, which when I edited it, this will probably end up in a cutting room floor, but I had cut out a portion because it just didn't fit where we're talking about how they changed the castle and stuff. And they're coming across that viaduct bridge, which is just going off into like a meadow or something, you know, the way that they get into Hogwarts, when really it truly is up to this point, that's where you go down to the boathouse as well. So the boathouse is right there. Typically, that viaduct bridge actually goes into another part of the castle. So a giant really wouldn't have a part of the Quidditch hoop unless he walked all the fuck around the castle just to get the Quidditch hoop. I don't know, whatever. That's nitpicking, obviously. So it does feel really big and epic, and there's this huge battle going on and stuff. I actually didn't see the Fred death because I kind of forgot to look for it. But my biggest gripe, well, beyond changing things, because what you said about the Patronus is like dead on. It's like nobody can do a Patronus, but Harry, it really is. You said the most like magnificent,
He was
magical
like
Patronus ever.
outrageously huge.
It like vibrates out. If you remember from last week, Tara actually said Harry is in no position to be able to feel these good feelings to produce that type of Patronus right now. So that doesn't make sense. But my biggest gripe is how dark it is. It's like whiplash from them not making it dark up until this point. And then all of a sudden, the movie people are just deciding that people die. Because you're totally right. Lavender Brown is sitting there. No, she's not sitting. She's laying down with her
Just
eyes
laying
open
there.
with a huge gash in her throat, which is an
Yeah.
awful thing to insert into the movie that did not exist in the book. And then this is actually part of this movie, but when they do have that portion near the beginning of the chapter, you see Trelawney basically announce that Lavender is dead. We can assume it's Lavender, but even in that instance, it's the wrong Patil twin. And so the movie fucks everything up.
Well, and I don't think that actress is Emma Thompson, but we'll get to it.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
We'll look it up in IMDb later
Yeah.
because we already unearthed that after Gringotts, Voldemort transported everybody to Malfoy Manor. So it's very possible that all of a sudden, oh, we got the Dumbledore effect on Trelawney too. So I guess we'll see.
Oh no, that is her because she doesn't do anything
She
in the
literally,
fucking
that's the
movie.
only thing she does. Yeah.
I was like, or, Emma Thompson is here. So I just assumed it wasn't her and they were like not gonna focus on it.
Yeah, and of course they don't have the epic thing of her bashing people with
Yeah.
the crystal balls. Whatever movie, God, it sucks because this is the moment to go all out, and they broke it up into two movies, and like this is what we get, and it's so vastly different from the book in so many ways. But one other thing though that I did notice, and this is actually once again in this chapter, but kind of alongside what you had said about Fred, there's a moment where Voldemort is calling everyone back, and you can see these snippets of the battle, and they focus on things, and I can't remember which Death Eater you said. Maybe it's Dolohov that kills Lupin allegedly.
I believe that that's what it's
Okay.
Dalahab. Not that I know which Death Eater that's supposed to be.
No worries. Yes, for real, because they all look the same. But there's this scene where Dolohov allegedly is like torturing, like maybe it's Crucio and Snape, or not Snape. Yeah, Snape's there. No, I'm Lupin. It's actually kind of terrifying because at first I was like, is that Lupin? Like, what it is, Lupin just looks absolutely fucking terrifying. And so it just seems very out of character almost to even see that. Like, why show us these things? The movie
If you're
just
not going to do
really,
them properly, yeah,
they don't do it
exactly.
properly, but on top of it, they put them in there to make it seem more dark and actually even more tragic than I think it needs to be portrayed. Whatever. The movie absolutely fucking fails. Now, another question, and maybe this was a deleted scene or something, but isn't there a part where Seamus and Neville blow up the bridge? That hasn't happened yet.
McGonagall talks about it, but I don't know that we see it.
I
If
mean,
we
I guess we did see it, didn't we? Like, there's that part where he's in the bridge and then they're running, and I can't remember talking about it. I
Well,
guess it
because
was
it's
there.
not from the book, so
It's
we're
not from
probably
the
just
book,
annoyed,
probably,
and we just
too.
kind of rolled our eyes and was like, sure.
Again, it's an epic thing, but when you insert things like that into the book that did not happen in the battle, instead of making sure that we have Ernie, Luna, and Seamus there to catch the Patronuses and stuff, I don't know, whatever. Exactly what you said. We probably rolled our eyes at it because we were like, well, this doesn't happen in the book, so why even cover it? That's pretty much it. I do think that's epic, but everything else about the scene is wrong and bad. Bad movie,
Bad
bad,
movie.
bad. Speaking of bad, well, not bad. It's time to acknowledge our patrons. You can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/basicsnitches. We will still have our Patreon open all the way to the end of this season. But then, like I mentioned in the last episode, we are discontinuing it at the end of season 7, but still continuing the podcast into season 8 and beyond. This week, we're still churning out new games. Tara comes up with a fun new game that I am determined to use again sometime this season. And our patrons are Ashley, Brittany, Jen, Mary Beth, Megan, Nisi, Nicole, and Olivia.
So speaking of the last chapter, I'm a winner loser of last chapter.
The winner, I think, is challenging. Is it Trelawney for dropping those crystal balls on people?
Oh my God, I love Trelawney, but it is not
For a
Trelawney.
second, I thought I was gonna get it, but I don't know who that is. But the loser, I'm gonna actually guess that the loser is Snape because he dies.
The loser is Voldemort, because he got it wrong. We knew Snape was gonna die. That guy wasn't gonna make it through the fucking series. But the winner is Dumbledore's army.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're
We
right.
just
I never would have guessed
we see them
that.
kicking ass, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not just giving that to Harry. That is
Yeah.
all of Dumbledore's army.
Hey, if I take away points from the entire Ministry of Magic, you can absolutely give the win to the entire
Mean, why
Dumbledore's
not? Like, I've given the trio a win, so it's just
Yeah.
a larger group.
And
It's
I mean,
fine.
it makes total sense that we see so many of them kicking ass and stuff.
They're amazing.
And yes, obviously, we're not to the chapter, the flaw in the plan yet. Because when we do, we're going to be like, well, fuck, because that's the last chapter of the book.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, you're completely right about that too. He was wrong, and this is a another fatal flaw in the trajectory of Cocaine Baby.
Rough.
Speaking of rough, Tara sent me a thing. Now get ready, because this is a really, really long chapter. So Tara's thing is bound to be very, very detailed. So let's get into it. Chapter 33, The Prince's Tale. Okay. I get it. Now we've witnessed Snape's tragic backstory, and it 100% makes sense now. He's totally a hero. Amazing guy. Much redeemed. Completely forgiven. Always. Fuck that guy.
It's an amazing thing, I know.
I think it's like really apropos that you get to write the thing for this chapter because, I mean, this is, I think, is probably the way to do it. It's funny because we're here at The Prince's Tale and it is massive and there is a lot to talk about and we'll go through it. Funny thing is, we've already talked about all of these things because I'm like, spoil me, Tara. And even though she did say it's in The Prince's Tale, we've known about these things, but let's get into it. So before we get into Snape's memory, we do have this crackle over the PA system at Hogwarts and
Who says
Voldemort.
Muggle technology doesn't work at Hogwarts?
Exactly.
Goldie figured it out.
He actually found the little announcement room in that little microphone. He does the gong, the bing bang bong, and then he's
And then he's like,
like,
is this thing on?
yes. Good job, everybody. You did some good fights. I'll give you an hour to rest. and dispose of your dead with dignity. And then I'm coming in there, and if Harry ain't here, I'm gonna murder you. Okay, bye. Well, okay, I guess this is another thing I guess I sort of appreciate about the movie is the pacing is all right. They have to go back and forth between these scenes of listening to dialogue, which you kind of have to pay attention to and is important, to this fast-paced nature that I think the book actually also gets pretty well. Last chapter, it was this fast-paced thing. It was literally just going from point A to point B, seeing Snape die. And now we get that almost moment to be like, okay, let's breathe and take a step back. The movie does do that well too, but we see that here as well. And so we see the trio go into the Great Hall. And this is where we finally get a moment that we've kind of been hoping for the last couple chapters of, okay, let's like actually acknowledge it and realize that Fred is dead. The whole Weasley family is there. This is also when he is just kind of looking around. Pomfrey is healing Ferenz, which that's an OTP right there.
I like it.
I kind of like it too. I don't know why. I can just see Ferenz galloping valiantly, and Pomfrey is on top of Ferenz, riding him. I guess, yeah, I guess there's no way out of this from not making it sound dirty. But she's brandishing a sword and she's screaming into the night. I can get behind that, I think. So Pomfrey is healing Ferenz. We see Lupin and Tonks lying there, which, as
Baby.
we already discussed, even in this episode, apparently Dolohov, we learn later. Once again, at this point, these characters are dying and we don't have any answers. I mean, it's a battle, it's chaos, of course, but.
We spend the next several chapters so closely with Harry in his head, which is one of the reasons why it's difficult to put this into the movies. Because you get this line, it says, "He yearned not to feel. He wished he could rip out his heart, his innards, everything that was screaming inside him, thinking about all of the people that are lying on the floor of the Great Hall, you know, all the people who are suffering right now." You know, Ron and Hermione just kind of step away from him, and he gets to have that moment of reflection around the Great Hall.
Yeah. And actually, one other thing that Voldy does say, because I kind of made a mockery of it, which is because he deserves it, but you are
You have,
responsible for all of your friends dying. It,
you permitted your friends to die for you rather than
yeah.
face me yourself.
Yeah. And in the movie, I think he even says something like, it's unforgivable that you've done this or something like that. Girl, you are passing off the blame. Yep. It's all Harry's fault. I mean, he's off trying to collect these Horcruxes, obviously. Like, this is the way that he's going to defeat Voldemort. After Voldemort saying that and then walking in and seeing this, it's very important to bring up those lines of text because, once again, we all talked about it because of my little portion about the movie from the last chapter. That shows you right there that he's not able to really produce a Patronus at this point. That's
Right.
the text that you were referring to in the last episode. At the very least, you get this moment. It's very sad, but it's great to see the Weasley family all together and it only being Fred. Also, just the image of Tonks and Lupin there, and it doesn't go deep into it at all, but the backstory of that, of like they just had a child who is with Andromeda, who also lost her husband. So there's that tragic backstory now,
It's
too.
yeah, it's very sad. And you don't get to get into that, but then you stop and you think and you're like, wow, that is another orphan.
Yeah, which again, like it would be really cool to see the story of Teddy Lupin Jr. You know, well, I
Right?
guess Teddy, he goes by Teddy and not Ted. The other thing, I just thought of this now because I haven't seen anything about Hagrid since fucking. I'm just gonna stick with phallic object because I don't know. It sounds
I like phallic objects just for the
Like
science.
mysterious and artistic, like Lady Gaga. Phallic object insinuates that Hagrid dies in the last chapter, and then I don't think we hear anything about it. So it's like stretching that out for no reason.
Yeah.
I think the way that we go from this to the Pensieve, he just kind of is like in a trance almost and makes his way to the headmaster's office. He manages to get the password right, which is.
Dumbledore, because that's who Harry wanted to see. Well, you know, you think about it. Dumbledore was the only friend Snape ever really had after
You
he
know, that's a good
ruined his
point.
friendship with Lily.
Because obviously, It was Snape who made that the password. We've learned up to this point that when Dumbledore was headmaster, he'd make them out candies.
Yeah, right. Dumbledore likes candy. Snape is like, I have only
Dumbledore
one friend in my life, and it's Dumbledore.
likes candy. I don't know why. That has the same ring as Ariana killed Kendra to me. I know this is a weird question to ask here in like the 11th hour, but if you were the headmaster of Hogwarts, what would you name the password? Dumbledore used all his favorite candies. Would you do something similar to that?
So my favorite thing in the world, and by favorite, I mean the most frustrating thing in the world to me, is coming up with a password for anything. So I think I would just do random shit.
It would just be like
It would
password
be,
1, 2, 3, 4.
no, it would just be a random word. It would have no rhyme or reason to it. And then no one would figure it out. One day it would be like paperclip. And then the next day it would be like Chevy, you know?
I love it. Okay, I was
Yeah.
gonna ask for examples, and yeah, I like that idea. I mean, this is probably not super surprising because Slytherins too, like this feels like something that you would almost see from like a Tom Riddle or something. But I like the idea of the passwords changing to like different crystals. So one day it's obsidian, one day it's lapis lazuli, etc. Something like that to keep it in like the magic world. But your idea is, I think, a lot more interesting and intriguing too.
Well, I mean, now you know the secret as to what my work passwords are.
Yeah, but that makes
Or
it
you don't.
impossible to guess
Yeah.
them. Like,
Yeah.
that's why it's amazing. I do kind of like also the password being just password 1, 2, 3, 4. That's kind
I
of
mean, also
hilarious.
there's that.
Or like Fox 69, you know, like name it after your
Fox
pet.
69.
Fox 69. Yeah, that sounds like the name of an airplane. Anyways, so he makes it up there, dumps that Snape goop into the stone basin. And here we go. Let's go on the journey of Snape's life. Severus Snape, this is your life. From the get-go, he is described in a negative way. Okay. One of the very
Yeah.
first words used to describe him is greedy, as he is looking at two sisters. I believe from the very get-go that Petunia is being a little twat.
Yeah. Well, Petunia is a little twat, so.
It is kind of upsetting because it would have been nice to see, oh, hey, they were really close. For Petunia's sake. And then they started to drift apart when the magic thing happens. I think what a lot of people might see, especially if they're on Snape's side, is that Petunia is the villain here. So it would be kind of interesting to see a little bit more of that. I know earlier in the series, we have talked a little bit about the quote unquote redemption arc of Petunia. Now, of course, it's Dudley, I think, who really gets it. Because right here from the get-go, we see her serving.
The other thing is that Petunia can be a snooty little 9-year-old bitch or whatever because that's just who she is. But at the same time, Snape is being creepy and he's not necessarily being kind to her. I mean, he does the same thing to her that he does to other people at Hogwarts who are muggle-born, you
Right.
know? Well, Lily is the exception. Otherwise, people who are muggle-born are terrible. He never treats her with any kind of respect, and she's important to Lily.
That is
Like,
true too.
sure, she's being a little bit. We learn through Snape's memory that Petunia has her own feelings about magic because she wanted to be special too.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wish I would have seen. Like, they have that scene. I mean, this is skipping a little bit ahead, but they have the scene on platform 9 3/4, and that's where I'm like, oh my God. And then to just think, oh, you grew up and you had a child and you never learned or changed or anything. So that's the part that I'm like, I would have loved to see a little bit more of that and a little bit more jealousy rather than just like, you're a freak, 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 which when it said freak on the thing, it was like one of those 80s glamour shots where I was reading what's on the page, and then I heard Fiona Shaw going freak from the first
Oh,
movie.
she's like the way she delivered that line is iconic, and now our brains are just always like Fiona Shaw, what a fucking queen.
Yes, I'm really proud of that explanation. I think that actually got it across perfectly. Because it is kind of funny, like, to see Petunia, who is a very minor character when you think about it. Yeah, I mean, she's supporting, I guess, but in the grand scheme of things, seeing this trajectory almost, they could have fleshed it out a little bit more, but it is what it is. And you have to do that comparison too, because this is where we see the seeds planted for the fallout of Lily and Snape too,
Yeah.
because That whole thing, which again, I'm skipping ahead, but the flashback where Harry's like, I don't even need to see this scene. I know what happens. And Snape ultimately calls Lily a mudblood. In these first scenes, he even says at one point, Lily asks, is it okay to be muggle born? Snape says something along the lines of, yeah, there's no difference. But there's almost a pause there. He's suppressing these things to get on Lily's good side very clearly, because later, when push comes to shove, he completely lashes out and loses control of his tongue and really what's on his mind.
Because he doesn't mean it. He's making her the exception. That's the problem with him at the core. He is so focused on one thing. Like, literally, when Dumbledore calls him out for it later on in this chapter, oh, it's okay that two people die as long as you get what you want.
Yeah, there's a little bit more of these young scenes. There's one where they are kind of like on a riverbed or something of that nature, and they're talking. That's where the comment is about, oh, is it okay to be muggle born? And then it never really determines what it is, but a branch falling on Petunia at that exact moment is pretty suspicious. So I would like to believe that, yes, that was Snape trying to hurt Petunia. We do see, of course, the scene on platform 9 3/4, where Petunia has a tantrum. And then
Yeah.
I think we go, oh, there's a train car scene before the sorting.
Before we meet James and Sirius.
Yeah. And it just so happens that the four people in this cart are James, Sirius, Lily, and Snape. And yeah, I mean, there is bullying from the get-go. And it's funny because it is that stereotypical stuff that we almost see in the first book of like already having an allegiance to the house and everything. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Here, as adult Slytherins and Gryffindors, we're able to see the gray areas and stuff, but they aren't. But there is some bullying. They do bully Snape. I get it,
They
but.
do, but like to the level of how Snape takes it out on Harry?
Oh.
Seriously?
Get ready, because like when that whole thing happens later, there is just shift. I'll get into it then, because I think I'm gonna have a rant. The only time Tara is ready, she is ready for me to pop off. The moments where we get the bullying is here, just a little bit, and then of course the scene that we've already seen. And there's a little bit of other discussions here and there that seem to suggest that it's something that is happening all the time. But we don't see any moving past the bullying. And that's the whole lesson here. Snape should have been able to move past the bullying. They have this little moment. We see the sorting ceremony. Of course, Snape is like, I really hope you're in Slytherin with me. I'm like,
Which,
look at the
like,
bitch.
why would she be in Slytherin? Also, why do you want to be in Slytherin? What is your true reasoning behind that?
That reminds me too, because we do see some bitch named Eileen at one point. She's looking a mess. That's my assumption. It's a lot of things about like family. I mean, Sirius even says, you know, my entire family was Slytherin, and I don't want to be in Slytherin.
Right.
We all know that Slytherin, to a degree, is a little bit of that pure blood sort of thing. I just think from the very get-go, knowing that there's a vibe about these different houses, there is not a single Slytherin trait that Lily has. Like from the get-go, she is
No.
not saying that Slytherins can't be joyful or anything.
What trait is he seeing that makes him logically think you better be in Slytherin?
Right.
Like,
Especially
again,
when she's
I'm confused as
muggle-born.
right.
It shows from this very, very early point that it's infatuation. That's what it is. Like because he's making this exception to his rule. So they have the sorting ceremony, of course. It's pretty quick. You know, we see a little bit of that where Lily runs off to the Gryffindor table and she kind of pouts at Severus, blah, blah, blah. If I'm not mistaken, the next part is like several years later, they're a little older and they're talking about how bitch with an M name. Like they
It was
start
like Mary or something like that.
Mulciber. Mention Mulciber
Oh,
and
okay. Oh,
Avery.
I thought we were talking about
Oh, Mary.
them being mean to Mary, who was Lily's friend.
Yeah, which is kind of cool that we get to see a little bit of that. One of Lily's good girlfriends. It makes me wonder, we see Mary Cattermole. Is it possible? Is that
Oh.
the Mary? Mary is one of those names that is very ordinary for the series, you know? But who knows? But we also hear her talking about Mulciber and Avery using dark magic. Snape is like, well, those Gryffindor boys that you hang out with are no better. They're bullies. And this is where Lily is the voice of reason. And she is talking about how, like, the bullying sucks, but the stuff that your friends are doing is no better.
She's not condoning what they're doing. She's just like, there is a difference between them being stupid teenage boys and your friends using dark magic. Your obsession with hating on James Potter, that started with you. Now, technically, it started with James and Sirius being dicks on the train, but now it's a couple years later, and you can choose to be the better person and be like, okay, well, I don't need to deal with those guys. But no, you're like obsessed with them because they're popular.
It's so funny because that is the clear parallel line between Harry and Draco. We always talk about how Draco has an obsession with Harry, which is why that romantic scene they had in the Room of Requirement is so special. We get that scene, which obviously shows a little bit of a rift of how they're still friends, yeah, but they're obviously operating in kind of different cliques and everything. What happens next is then there, it kind of really quickly turns into adulthood. And I can't remember if it's like Snape talking to Dumble of like, oh, I told the prophecy to Voldy, and even though I shouldn't have, and now he wants to go after Lily, so please protect her for me. I think that's when Dumbledore says the thing of like, oh, so you only care about this one person, not the child or the husband.
Exactly.
No, actually, you know what it is? There is the scene we've already seen where they're around that tree and the bullying thing
Oh,
happens and the mudblood
yes.
comment happens.
Yes, and it's like Harry, I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, which I can't blame him. And I'm kind of glad
Right.
that that's how that went.
What kind of frustration that Harry went through in the fifth book when he learned that his dad, who he has no reason to think otherwise because the world was like, your dad was the best guy, your dad was amazing. When he learned that in the fifth book, that his dad was being the pretty gross bully at that point in his life, specifically to Snape. Now, do we know if he was a bully to other people? I don't know, because we
Exactly.
only get Snape's point of view here. Harry probably still feels a lot of he has no control over that, and he's still made to feel guilty about it. And he's not going to not feel guilty about it because he's a good guy. And he's learning all of this stuff, and he does see what happened to Snape. And you think he probably does have some sympathy in that area. He has been treated poorly by not just Malfoy, but some others. I mean, the way he was treated in the second and fourth year, he knows what that's like. And it was something maybe his dad didn't. And so him having to relive that in this like very, very vital couple of minutes of his life before he has to take this next step is big. And
Yeah.
I think it was important to ensure that that was something that Snape thought needed to be reiterated to Harry, and Harry making the choice to step away from that because that's not something he needed to know. To be fair, that's not. That's a bit of Snape being selfish and being like, just a
Well,
reminder that your dad was a dick.
yeah, and it comes down to not just like just a reminder that your dad was a dick. Look at me. Oh, poor me. But the comparison that he's made from the get-go, and the movie does this in kind of an interesting way. I don't honestly know if I like it or not. I think you know what I'm talking about. Harry has his own journey, and this is where I think I have most, sorry to use this word, but umbrage about this whole thing, because this is truly where Snape loses Lily in a way. He still has this like innate love for Lily, infatuation for Lily, whatever. Even after the scene, that I think is the last scene where we actually see Lily. Again, this is the movie kind of mucking me up a little bit, but unless there's that scene where we see Lily die.
Oh.
There is the scene after this, the mudblood thing, where they're standing outside of the fat lady portrait, and I think Lily's in her nightgown, and she mentions her friend Mary again, and she's like, you fucked up, dude. Sorry. Like, you called me a mudblood in like this moment of letting your thoughts flow, and that's how you truly think. So
Right.
get
Well, and I think that
fucked.
it's so important for her to like call him out. Because that's what she's doing. She's like, no, we're not going to play this game where just because we were friends at some point in time means that I'm going to let you get away with this kind of shit. You didn't mean it. Yes, you did. You say that all the time. If it was not me and the person next to me, you would call them that. What's the difference? There is no difference. You are being a fucking bigot.
And honestly, if that's the last part of Lily that we see, it shows. I mean, it shows exactly the type of person Lily is. She's the girl that we always knew she was. Then I think is the scene where he's like, Voldemort's gonna kill my Lily.
Ugh.
They
And then
die.
I'm assuming that Snape set up this meeting. Dumbledore thinks that Snape is bringing a message from Voldy. And actually, Snape is like, no, I want to talk to you because about this prophecy that I overheard. And he's like, yeah, you're a rude eavesdropping bitch. Go on. And then he's like, well, he thinks that it's Lily, and he only talks about Lily. And Dumbledore is like, yeah, no, it wasn't about her. It was about a
Yeah,
boy.
it wasn't about a
And
woman.
then
Yeah.
he's like, oh, I well, her son, you know what I mean? Like, he can't even bring himself to talk about James Potter's son, who hasn't
Yeah.
even been born yet, and how disgusted Dumbledore is with him. And here is where Snape makes the choice to sit on both sides of this. I mean, this is the beginning of that decision. Obviously, after Lily is dead, it kind of solidifies all of that and their connection or whatever, and like what that means.
This is the scene, honestly, where he makes the pivot that I gave him 15 points for in the last episode. Because that's the thing. At least at this point, he can like pick a side. Going back to what McGonagall said a few episodes ago, it's time for the Slytherins to pick a side. This truly is Snape's pivotal moment. So good for him for doing that and stuff. When it comes down to it, he can at least follow through with his actions. But the next thing we basically see, I believe, because in the book we don't see the whole thing of him walking into a crime scene, fucking up all the evidence and hugging a corpse, but whatever. The next thing that we see, because never mind that that's actually what he does, it's so romantic, blah, blah, blah. So
What?
the next thing that we see, there might be actually another conversation of like, oh, you have to protect the child. Or is it when Harry
Is
comes to Hogwarts?
so yeah, when Harry comes to Hogwarts, he's like, he's just like his father, and Dumbledore's like, actually, everyone else says he's great. Turn your
Yeah,
prejudice off,
seriously.
you asshole.
So this is where I have one of the biggest fucking issues because he just had this moment that could be a moment of redemption and he's so fucking obsessed with Lily and we have to go and protect them because Lily, Lily, Lily. They die. Lily's child comes to the school, but now all of a sudden he's James's child. We never hear anything about Lily when he's talking about this from the very get-go, unless you count the little like emo poetry that he says in the first class about like the root of asphodel and wormwood
Yeah.
and blah blah blah.
Which is like cryptic and implied and not necessarily anything.
It's like what an emo kid would do in the 90s, you know, is like talk through riddles and stuff. It's never about Lily. And this, again, I think is the movie because they're obsessed with Lily's eyes. But Dumbledore even says something like, he has his mother's eyes. Come on, man. You love his mother. He can't move past the trauma of bullying to realize this kid has a lot of Lily in him, too. And he can't even realize that because he's just so focused on, he looks like James. He's just like James because of that. He's a fucking
Because he looks like
asshole.
James. It's all been said on this. He looks like James. And so he looks at Harry. And I mean, I guess you could say that's triggering, but
But come
you
on,
are
man.
responsible for your own fucking triggers. I don't know your triggers. I'm not responsible for them. If I'm an 11-year-old boy who, by the way, has lived a pretty shitty life up to this point, as far as what he remembers, is going to come in here, have this man treat him like garbage. He has no fucking idea why. And that's because that man cannot keep himself in check and keep his own
Yeah.
fucking triggers in check because he looks at you and sees this boy who was mean to him several years ago. That is not Harry's fault.
At this point, at the end of the series, I think probably we're a little bit older, maybe, than Snape and that
Yeah.
whole generation should be. But they should be, you know, mid-30s. If we can do it and try to work through our trauma, so can you, Snape. Especially when it's all a fantasy. There's nothing that should be triggering Snape at all. Harry doesn't act pretentious.
No,
It's simply everything that
he's
is in
his
Snape's
mother.
mind. Yes, he makes that decision, but once again, it's like it's same old Snape. It's the same sort of thing of like, oh, I'm gonna choose you, even though you're muggle born, because I have a big ol', well, it's probably not very big, but I have a boner for this woman, but you're forgiven because of that. The same
Right.
thing here. It's like you can't look past this innate thing. This is really where I take up that issue with it. And really, at this point, it's a lot of conversations with Dumbledore, and it's unveiling all of the things that we kind of expected.
And Adam's like, and all the things Tara told me.
Yes, no matter what, promise me that you'll keep him safe. There's the whole thing with the ring that we see Dumbledore decide
So
to just
yeah,
put
so
the
well,
ring on.
the next thing we see is actually, it's just like a little Easter egg because it's the fourth year and they're
Oh, yeah,
talking
that's right.
about the Dark Mark getting darker. They mentioned Karkaroff and how he's a coward. Karkaroff intends to flee if the mark burns. Does he? Said Dumbledore softly. And are you tempted to join him? No, said Snape. I'm not such a coward. No, agreed, Dumbledore. You are a far braver man than Igor Karkaroff. You know, sometimes I think we sort too soon. And that makes me think, wow, if this fucking guy had actually took some time to really understand about the houses and about his best friend when he was a child, I think Snape would have been a Gryffindor.
Whoa.
A hot take, I know.
Fine, you can have him.
Yes, he's also a fucking coward, but this right here, playing for both sides for the last 17 years, that is brave. But because he's obsessive and because he is a coward in the other regards, like that is why he ended up in
Yeah.
Slytherin. His home life is not much different than Harry's was with his aunt and uncle. And look, Harry's in Gryffindor, not because of his parents. Harry's in
Yeah.
Gryffindor because of who he is.
I just realized I was on mute.
Next is the ring. Dumble, why the fuck did you put this ring on?
Really quick, all of that and like the whole, maybe we sort too quick. This was, I think, a Patreon thing talking about how I think Kuldostorets, which is the school in Russia, apparently they have a house just for first years and then they do get sorted in the second year. But also, if we're talking about Petunia's word being freak, coward is definitely Snape's word. Like that seems to follow him. So it's important to bring that up. And then, yes, the ring where Dumbledore was like, ooh, jewelry. And he put it on and got crispy hand. And Snape tries to heal him and does the best that he can, basically says, you have a year to live. There might be another conversation where this happens a little bit later, but it's all kind of at the same time in the book where he's like, well, I know that you're working with the Malfoy boy or something, or I know that the plan is for Malfoy boy to kill
Yeah.
me. You do it instead.
And he's like, wait, hold on. This is again, it shows the kind of person that Snape is. He's like, why not just let Malfoy do this? Dumble's reasoning, because he does not believe that Draco is fully turned to this horrible Death Eater, because he isn't. Thinking about what he means when he says to Snape, you alone will know what it means to end an old man's suffering or whatever, because Dumbledore is dying. Him making an agreement with Snape for Snape to kill him is not necessarily a stain on Snape's soul, like it would be
Well,
for Draco, because this is an agreement that Dumbledore and Snape made.
and let's back up a little bit. Like, you can't even support one of your prefects, like head of house of Slytherin.
Killing someone is, unless you're a piece of garbage, which clearly Snape had reservations about it too, because he had no problem going, oh, well, Draco can do it. Like, he doesn't want to kill Dumbledore. The kind of thing that Dumbledore is trying to save Draco from, and kind of even Snape, ensuring that he has now put himself fully in Lord Voldemort's camp.
That
That is,
too.
oh, so you don't want to kill someone, but you're okay with a fucking teenager doing it. You doing this is the right thing.
And luckily, in this scene, because they're still keeping that little secret away from us, if you remember that Draco did disarm Dumbledore, because I guess
Right.
that's another thing we didn't really talk about in the last episode, is Voldemort says, oh, well, you killed Dumbledore, but it's not about killing,
Right.
it's about
And
disarming.
Oldie doesn't understand.
Yes. And so the
Oldie
fact that they kind of
doesn't.
don't really bring that even up here, there's not really an easy way to do it.
This is not a place where we can reveal that.
Well, and Dumbledore probably even know. Like, Draco disarming
No.
Dumbledore was the quote unquote fatal mistake that Draco made. I mean, it's not really a fatal mistake, but
Yeah.
to like put things completely in a different way that better suits Harry and the good guys.
Right, because Dumbledore's plan was for Snape to end up as the master of the Elder Wand. By Draco getting to disarm him, that made Draco
The
the
master.
master of the Elder Wand. So it's got to be Harry who now sees this and also understands through the next couple of chapters that he is the master of the Elder Wand.
So it's great that that is still like the big secret here, because everything else is like, oh, they've revealed everything to us and we have three chapters left to get through it. Now, the only other two things that are very notable that they reveal is at the end where Dumbledore tells Snape, you have to basically protect Harry all the way up to when Voldemort is the most vulnerable. If you start seeing when he gets out that stupid giant gerbil ball for the snake to be in, that's how you know. This is when you have to let Harry know. And so, right place, right time, man, because Harry was there just in time to get the Snape goop. This is where Snape kind of realizes you've raised him as a pig for slaughter. He gets a little bit angry, and Dumbledore's like, "Oh, come on. Don't tell me that all of a sudden you have fondness for this boy. Now this is the big issue. Like, this is something that you wouldn't have given two shits about based on everything else that you've said about this kid." And then
And
he's like, "Expecto Patronum, doe."
oh, after all this time.
That is in the book, right? After all this
Yep.
time, always.
Always.
You're so obsessed with this woman who died 17, 16 years ago, whatever, that your Patronus is a doe that is reminiscent of her.
Come on.
I mean, maybe some people can read into this and think, oh, well, he feels so much guilt over this because he's the one who led to this. And so this is like in her memory and stuff. And it's like, there are better ways that we can look at the memory of Lily Potter, guys. Like, it's not just that it's the Doe Patronus, but luckily, and I think in the book, it's even a little bit of like, because he's talking to the portrait of Dumbledore, which is kind of cool to at least see that in the book, because we knew it was happening. And I think even Phineas Nigella says something like, they're hiding in the woods, and
Yes,
Dumbledore is like,
so.
great, thanks for letting me know, asshole. Go get the sword and take it to him.
And then Dumbledore's like, yeah, go now, go now. And then Snape is like, I have a plan. And then he goes and he does the sword business. And here we are. The thing is that before Dumbledore's death is when Dumbledore gives him that key information that Harry must know at the last possible minute that he has to die.
Yeah.
And then you still get two more reveals, at least like
Yeah.
one, you get more
I
information.
like calling them reveals. That's what they call it
Yeah.
on Drag Race.
It's
Snape's
like
got titty tassels on.
Harry is witnessing the discussion about his own fucking life. Oh, so I just have to die at the right time. Cool. Oh, there's more. Oh, okay. Let me watch some more. Like it's, and then
Yeah.
it's like, oh, by the way, Snape was like, here's the sword in case you need a reminder that my Patronus is a doe because I'm in love with your mom, even though she dead.
I don't know if I even like have much more to say. And
Yeah.
maybe this is at the beginning of the next chapter, because this is one where when we are left on a cliffhanger after that Caro pig bitch pops up in
Yeah.
the Ravenclaw common room, that's one of those instances where I was like, what? What happens next? And
Right.
read the next page. But here it's like when we get to the movie conversation, they do have this little moment where you kind of see Harry realize what has to happen here. And I don't really think we get too much of that. It kind of comes out, and it's like there's this dizzy moment, and it's like, okay. So now we basically know that this is what it is. Voldemort's the one who has to kill him.
There's one other thing that we didn't talk about, and that was one of the other post Dumbledore death reveals.
Oh, okay.
And you see Snape giving that information to Mundungus. So that
Oh,
Mundungus,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
and of course he plays both sides. So you also know that Snape told Voldemort one thing, told Mundungus to present this idea as his own. And then we do see the Seven Potters in the air battle, and you see him try to Sectumsempra, Sempra, the Death Eater that tries to attack Lupin, and he misses and hits
Yeah,
George. So
yeah.
this is also just another way of showing that where Snape is sitting in this space, because Dumbledore's like, you have to play your part well. Of course, we see him try to not kill order members, and he doesn't, but he does hurt one, you know? And the letter, you get him pulling up the letter that Harry's missing the second page, the letter that Lily wrote to
Yeah,
Sirius.
oh my
And you
God.
get to read the
Yeah.
last part of the letter, which is, could ever have been friends with Gellert Grindelwald. I think Hermione's going personally, lots of love, Lily. So he'd obviously, because he's a fucking psychopath creep, he kept that because it has her signature.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
yeah.
And this was what, after they vacated Grindle Place, right?
Showing that he went to Sirius's house after the Seven Potters flight.
Got it. Thank you. Because that was a little bit confusing to me. I'm like, all right, well, it's just another creepy thing to add to the list. But also, yeah, the whole Seven Potters thing. So, because when I was
Right.
reading that, I was like, oh, so it was Dumble's idea. Because we've talked so many
Yeah.
times about, I think you even sent me an Instagram recently where it's like, they used all this Polyjuice potion for Seven Potters, just transform Harry into a muggle and drive him away.
Right?
So
I
that's
mean,
Dumble's fault. Dumble, bad idea. We didn't even
well,
need to try to confund Mundungus or whatever.
right. We do also get that moment of what it means to hear the word mudblood to Snape, who we've never heard say the rest of the series. Like, I feel like probably the last time he ever said mudblood was the time he said it to Lily, and she was
That
like,
might be
absolutely not.
true. That might be
Because
true.
Phineas Nigellus is like the mudblood. He's like, I don't fucking think so. Don't use that word.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
You know,
So,
so,
I
and
mean, he
that's a
learned his
nice little
lesson there.
callback. You learned your fucking lesson, you dick. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Well, I loved your thing, and especially for you writing that thing, it was like, chef's kiss. We're gonna dive a little bit more into detail. I mean, yeah, we just did that, but now we have to do it in a different, more fun, creative way because we're gonna play one word at a time.
Okay.
And obviously, we can be a little bit creative with this as we always are, because really, we're just going to talk about Snape's memories. So let's see just what direction it goes in, shall we?
Oh,
She's already yawning. She's
right. I'm
like,
like, oh, Snape, my favorite.
okay. Would you like to begin, or should I
No,
begin?
you can
Okay.
begin.
All right. Once
Upon time,
Snape,
saw
Lily
and
was.
infatuated.
Petunia,
Sucks.
but
Isn't
Snape,
suckier.
they
Talk
on
magic,
and
travel
to
Hogwarts
Lily, so they're
is
sorted,
into
Slytherin, just kidding, Gryffindor,
much
to
Snapey's
disappointment.
he
Remains
assholy
4 years
many he
and
James.
are.
Enemies.
We could have changed the narrative right there too and made them lovers, but honestly, that
Oh.
looks kind of gross. No.
Hi.
Trelawney,
Predicts
Harry,
destroying
cocaine,
baby.
and.
Snapeadoodle.
Thank you for that. Eavesdrops
Like
a
bitch.
and
Runs
to
cocaine
baby
to
Narc
cocaine
baby
intends
to
murder
the
baby
and
his
parents
Dumble
says.
Snape
Get
your
shit.
together
Alas,
cocaine
baby.
murders
James,
and
Lily, Harry, Harry,
doesn't
die.
but
Cocaine
baby
becomes
dust
Snape.
cries
Dumble.
rolls
His
eyes
and
calls
Snape
a
coward
Dumble
tells
Snape
he
needs
therapy,
Snape
vows
to
protect
Lily's
memory
even
while
continuing
to
hate
Harry.
for
Ever
Snape
learns
that
Harry
knows
nothing.
and
He
complains
about
secrets
but
Dumble
has
no
more
secrets
Harry
is
number.
eight.
Wait, no, he's number 7. There's not 8 Horcruxes.
Oh yeah, number seven. Thank you.
That,
I had to math and I wasn't good at it.
girl, it's the first 10 numbers. Actually,
Seven.
can I change my game right now to math class? Tara, what is 5 plus 2? Apparently, it's 8.
Eight. Seven.
Okay, one more thing and then we'll be done. Snape!
Doesn't
Like.
Harry.
Girl, you are just on the dais. Snape doesn't like Harry train. He just the
I well,
Patronus.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, yes, but beating a dead horse, man.
Snape has one fucking character arc and it's hating Harry,
Or
so.
could I say beating a dead doe?
Wow.
Oh, that's too much? Okay,
I'm just
fine.
kidding.
Should we talk about the
Yes, let's please talk about the movie because I have
So,
feelings.
okay. So at the beginning, this is where Voldemort does his little announcement. We see bits and pieces of the battle. This is where I think I see Lupin getting tortured. And then we do have the scene in the Great Hall. I already talked a little bit about it in my recap from the last episode, but we see Trelawney apparently announcing Lavender's dead, and it's the other Patchilch twin there that isn't, whatever. I don't know why they needed that in there. To your point
I
of
mean,
thinking
to
that it
be
wasn't Emma Watson.
or Emma Thompson, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
sorry. My Emmas are confused.
Well, that, yeah, because I was like, why would they only put her in that fucking much of the movie when the
Totally.
character literally gets to throw fucking crystal balls? Why would you not have that in there? If you can get this fucking A-list queen in your movie for 4 seconds, give her like 10 more so she can throw fucking crystal balls.
Or just like not include that and give it the way that it was supposed to happen. Like,
Right?
what the fuck? Ugh, I hate that.
And I hate that we're implying that, I mean, we implied already that Lavender was dead. It's very sad to see, even though I think that is the wrong actress, it's the one who plays Padma that they have there, but I could be
Yep,
wrong.
100. You're right. You're
Like,
correct.
and Pavarti is Lavender's best friend, but maybe we're implying that Pavarti is also not alive and like Padma's twin and her friend is dead. I don't like to
I
think
mean,
that.
if that's what they're applying, they did it very weakly, and I
Right, we're
completely
like
agree.
now we're just going to be mad about it because Emma Thompson got 0.3 seconds of screen time and we see the insinuation that a character is dead who was not even necessarily announced as dead in the
Yeah.
fucking books.
Now, I will say that is my only issue with this scene. Everything else I think is absolute, like the Weasley
Yes.
moment.
It's heartbreaking. Rupert Grint and the sobbing. I'm just like, "Oh, the way that whichever Phelps plays George, because I don't know which one it is, James or Oliver.
Oh.
Apologies. The way that he like grabs Ron and hugs him, I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, because they're actually brothers in real life. They're actually twins in real life. Like, I feel like there's still a certain level of emotion that comes with that that is so authentic. As an actor, you can only do so much, but as a person who is like, I have to pretend that my brother is dead, it's very raw and beautiful and sad.
It's great. Even the way that they show Lupin and Tonks, I mean, it's
Oh.
all correct. This scene is really, really
They did
lovely.
not do anything to try to make David Thewlis not look fucking old, though. And like you can see the age difference so much. Oof. Because the scene that they have earlier in the movie where they like reach toward each other, he looks younger.
I will also say, in this movie in particular, you see the age difference even more. Because I mean, it's kind of like what we said earlier about like now we're older than they are, unlike when
Yeah.
we began the podcast. But now Lupin is 5 years older as well, or David Thewlis, I should say,
Right.
is 5 years
Yes.
older. So it makes it even more obvious. Like there are moments in the flashback with Snape, and even when like Snape is
Oh.
trudging through their house, walking into a crime scene to fondle a corpse,
Walking into a crime scene.
we don't like that. Okay. In
We
case
don't
you were
like
wondering,
that.
that scene, it's not in the book. They're trying to pull on the heartstrings of the audience. They're trying to make Snape look better than he is. But when you get down to the, I know I'm skipping way ahead because it's the end of the scene, but I'm just going to talk about it now. It's disgusting, honestly. Like, it's a really gross way for them to insert this in here, and they're trying to spin it in a positive way. But, anyways, everybody I think looks older. Like, there's the scene
Yes.
where he does talk to Dumbledore, and they're on like a cliff, and he's like, please protect my lily. And I'm like, wow, because it's him now. Like,
Right. I mean,
obviously, they didn't
because,
do this back then because they didn't know about it.
yeah.
I do think that that stands out more.
I think you're right.
So he goes up to the Pensieve, which now apparently it's not a stone basin. He just like lifts it
It
up and
just
it
like
floats.
floats to the desk. Still, like, there's fucking nothing in that office. Snape's not been doing shit.
I will say the way he comes into it and it's dark, and to think Dumbledore's dead, Snape is dead. I kind of like that it's like very quiet and almost eerie. But the fact that
Yeah.
now he like picks it up and tosses it like a frisbee, that never happened before, guys. But once again, why are we changing something that doesn't need to be
Right.
changed
We've
at all?
already, and this is a thing we've already established in the film. I'm not even asking you to do exactly what the book says. I'm literally just asking you to follow some continuity from the last fucking movie.
Yeah,
Like
100%.
literal, well, I guess not the last movie because this one's in two parts. But you know what I mean? From the sixth
Yeah,
movie.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
We see the Stone Basin in movies 4, 5, and 6. And
Yeah,
then
but
this movie.
now he got an upgrade.
Now
Snape upgraded
it's
it finally.
he's like, I'm gonna make it a frisbee.
Dumble was so old, he
Frisbee
wasn't very good with
Pensky.
technology. He didn't know how to like upgrade the firmware and everything for his
Right.
Pensieve. So the flashbacks. The ones with young Lily are quite nice. They speed through it a little bit. They skip things like the Hogwarts Express.
I actually really enjoy, for the most part, all of that and the way that it is done pretty simply. It doesn't have to be super, super detailed. Yeah, the stuff with Lily and Petunia. I think that young Snape is entirely too adorable. I'm gonna need him to
Well,
not be
it
that cute.
also it's a child wearing a suit. I'm like, that's weird, but I guess that is probably what child Snape would do. So
Right, because
fine.
he don't know.
So that all goes pretty well. In the sorting ceremony, it's also Maggie Smith right now, and I'm like, man, McGonagall looks old, like
Right.
for what it should be. But it is what it is. What else are they gonna do? There's this moment where, once again, it's like the 80s, 90s glamour shot where all of a sudden Trelawney's like, one must, neither can survive when the
Yeah.
other one
I
lives,
mean, that's
whatever it
definitely
is.
pulled right out of the fucking fifth movie, but
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'll also say this is where I kind of touched on it or alluded to it earlier. But through all of these scenes, as it's transitioning and stuff, you hear Snape saying things like, you're just like your father, lazy, like stuff like that. I don't really know why they did it because they're clearly trying to make Snape seem like a good guy. And then all of a sudden, it's all these things that Harry has learned, unless they aren't trying to make him look like a good guy. And just the audience has at large completely misunderstood the scene because the movie does try to paint him better. Maybe
Yeah.
that's what it is. If that's the case, like the audience completely ignored all those nuances. When I read this, I'm like, there's no way that you can look at Snape and think that he's like a good guy. I mean, contrary to what both of us have already said, of like, yes, he does make that decision to do good, but he never works through all of his trauma and stuff. And so at the end of the day, he has all this unresolved trauma that he passed on to Harry. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I've talked
Right.
about that a lot. So that happens. This is when we start getting those scenes of him going into the crime scene. What were you going to
Yeah,
say?
so you see him talking to Dumble, and then it's like this voiceover of like, I will never reveal the best of you or whatever. And then it's like Snape, yes, standing outside, and you see James and Lily's house in shambles. Then you see him fucking messing up a crime scene, and then we're pissed.
Why was he right there? Why was he like there right after it happened? If he's waiting to see if that's what's going to happen.
Who the fuck knows? Because obviously that's not what really happened,
Right,
you know?
exactly. I'm just trying to like put it in the context of the movie. It's wrong. It's bad. I don't
It's
like
wrong.
that. Because then we have the scene that is actually pretty close to the book where he's like, oh, they died, blah, 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 blah. And Dumbledore even says, well, they put their trust in the wrong person,
Yeah.
kind of like you did.
It's actually a really badass, like 15 seconds. Michael Gambon and Alan Rickman are incredible. I mean, they're already incredible actors, both of them rest in peace. That exchange, that's literally just a few seconds, is real good.
Yeah. Imagine that. When they stick to the book, it's really good. Who would have thought?
I mean, and Alan Rickman is, even when he's cuddling a corpse and everything, yes, Alan Rickman is exceptional, which is why I don't know why we have to like lay it on thick that he's actually supposed to be a good guy because we already love him. He's already a perfect Snape. I don't need him to have this
Well,
additional
he's a
shit
little
that I'm
old,
supposed to.
but
Well,
other
he
than
is.
that,
He's, but we,
other than
you
that,
know, the whole fucking series is everyone being too old.
Can
So,
I also back up? Because yes, he does
yeah.
kind of like corpse kid, but he also steps right over her husband.
And then, like, there's a crying baby, and he's like, fuck that baby.
Totally. Whatever. The way that he
How are
blew it into
you a
the
good guy?
scene.
How is he a good guy? And like, I don't know what they thought that they were doing by putting this in the movie, and people are like, oh my God, it's so sad.
They are
That's not
trying to
appealing to
make
anyone.
people like Snape. I'm positive about it.
Failing. That does not make me like this man anymore.
Well, for you and I, it isn't working. But I think at large for the fandom, to some degree, it worked because
Y'all,
this
the
is why
Harry
we
Potter
get
fandom is
this.
toxic as fuck, so there's
Well,
that.
every fandom is
Most
toxic to a
fandoms are
certain
pretty
degree.
toxic, yeah.
In this age where you can go on the internet and hide behind a profile and stuff, of course. But anyways, we've talked enough about that.
Yes.
Everything else we do at least to a degree get. He announces that Harry needs to be killed at the last moment. All of that goes pretty to what we expect. Once again, we do see Snape be like, oh, you raised him as like a pig for slaughter and gets angry. I can't remember if Michael Gambon does say anything like, oh, you like him now? There is a little bit of a moment where I was like, I mean, yeah, you did kind of raise him as a pig for slaughter, but at the
He's not
same
wrong.
time, to defeat Voldemort, Harry and Snape needed to act accordingly. And that's the end goal. I mean, I get it to a degree. Had Dumbledore been sorted in a delayed way, the way that you said Snape, Dumbledore could have been a Slytherin because he works in this very strategic way to get to the means of an end.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Merlin was a Slytherin as well. I mean, I don't know a shit ton about Merlin. Dumbledore seems Merlin-esque to me. So there is a little bit of that, yeah. But when this whole scene is about Snape, you have to focus on Snape and his actions. And so they get it pretty right. He casts the Dope Patronus. Oh, after all this time, always. And then when he comes out of the Pensieve, this is where I am glad that we get a pause. And like, I watched a little bit beyond where I probably should have because it's all going to be in the next chapter. But he sits there in the office. There's this dramatic moment. The music, the lighting, all of that kind of shows the inside where Harry is realizing what has to happen. And that's kind of where the scene ends.
And I like how it is at the end of it, Snape could have just walked through the door. It kind of is like that tell back to the third book where Harry and Hermione enter through the hospital wing just as Dumbledore leaves in the whatever. Like
Oh,
it's kind of like
yeah.
that.
That's a good point. They did edit it in a creative way. And while inserting all of these like Snape insults and stuff too, I think that's a part of it. So the cinematography and the way they chose to display some of it is pretty good. The way they condense things and everything is fine, but they could have put more things that are actually in the memories other than Snape going in to the Potter house. That interruption for some sort of like heartfelt scene to try to like pull in the heartstrings of the audience or something. When that's not what happened, it's awful. That really shouldn't have been in there. And I mean, it's iconic. When people think about this movie, it's iconic. That's the problem. I mean, I see why some people probably like Snape, but like when you do the deep dive on it and you really look at it from the way that it should be,
But
well, we'll see. Maybe this is the last time that we're talking about Snape.
I hope that it is, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, maybe we should get Tara some gillyweed. Let's give some
Points?
points out. Yeah, I'm going to give 20 points to George, Molly, and Arthur for that lovely scene. Yes, I could have given them to all the Weasleys. There's too many of them. I'm also giving 20 to Lupin and Tonks because they're also the big beloved characters that we see dead in the scene. And I give 25 to Lily. Lily stays true to herself. Lily is a reliable, solid character, unlike Snape.
Fuck that guy.
I also give plus five to Pomfrey and Firenze because they're my new OTP. I take negative 10 away from Petunia because that bitch didn't change. It makes me think of like in high school where people would write in your yearbook, never change. It's like, y'all, we're in
Right.
high school. Everybody should be
He's
changing.
changed.
And I do take some away from Dumbledore only because, yes, he raised Harry and Snape for slaughter to a certain degree, but the real reason
Yeah.
why I'm taking away these points is because Seven Potters was his idea.
It's a terrible plan.
Yeah. And lastly, I am taking 0 points away from Snape because, yeah, to a degree, he has a redemption from the storyline of picking a side and doing what's right and following through and with every instruction that Dumbledore gave him. Sure, that's great. But while he was focused on that, he never took a step back and like got over Lily's death or worked through any of that trauma. And it's infatuation. I think we have built a pretty solid case through this entire podcast. Go back and listen to our focus on Snape. I think at least what I called it when I saved it was something like Hagrid saves a baby, a discussion about Snape, something like that. We talk about it at length in there, where the movie tries really hard to make him seem like a
Trying
good
really
guy.
hard.
It's interesting because I very well could have probably given him points, but I don't because at the end of the day, he's a great character. The fact that he is so very, very flawed makes him very interesting, and that's why we've talked about him so much. But I'm given points based on the things that they do in this chapter, not if they're a good character. And so, 0, no points for Snape.
I love the no points for Snape.
I know. I've told Tara a lot that like I have a lot of issues here. We've gone through this journey both kind of not, I mean, Tara was definitely a lot more on the I don't like Snape train than I was, but I was never a huge fan of him. Yes, he's a symbol of Slytherin stuff. I have a Snape pop. I have a Snape pillow back there. Stuff like that. But he is not, at the end of the day, someone that we should be lauding as a hero or a romantic.
Thank
Okay.
you.
If you dig into the character and really look at this stuff, maybe you should be asking yourself if you would do the same kind of thing, especially if you've only seen the movies, because it's pretty weird. Enough about that. Next
Yeah.
time, we will be
Next time we're going to be reading
discussing
my favorite chapter in the entire series.
chapter 34. It's called The
The
Forest
Forest Again.
Again. Tara's favorite chapter because Harry dies. She's been waiting. She's been like
It's also
rubbing
like
her hands
literally
together.
half the size of this fucking chapter.
It's somewhere around like 50, 60
I'm a little
pages.
mad that you get to write the thing for the next chapter and I have to write the one for the fucking King's Cross chapter, which is also
Oh,
long as
yes.
fuck.
But you did get to write the one for this chapter, which I
Which
think is
I,
the most important, to be
right,
honest.
yeah. And that's why this one was not a long thing. It was just a correct thing.
Not a long thing. That's exactly what you could say about Snape's dick.
Basic Snitches is recorded and produced by Adam Bowers and Tara Corkery.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to rate us 5 stars on your listening app of choice and share us with all your other friends who love Harry Potter and getting drunk.
Yes, join our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram. I never update Twitter, but we have that.
We do.
Also email basicsnitches@gmail.com.
We also now have a website, basicsnitches.com, and a Patreon, patreon.com/basicsnitches. Join today and get exclusive content every week and be acknowledged in every single one of our episodes. Terra Integra, dance bitch.
I see your new friends who don't make me dance for nothing.
Yeah, they ain't gonna come, honey. We out!